I get an amen back there? Did I hear that? Is that Olivia? Was she saying amen? All right. This morning I'd like to share with you the gospel lesson for the day, which comes to us from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. And this is from the 84 edition of the NIV. This takes place, of course, with Jesus and his disciples on the night before his arrest and betrayal. He's sharing with them this farewell discourse before he goes away. And before he leaves, he gives them these instructions. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives it with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me any longer, but you will see me. Because I live, Jesus said, you will live also. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, real quick now, without looking at your bulletins, what's the mission statement, vision statement of Bethel United Methodist Church? Well, I saw you peeking. Look on the front of your bulletins. I think it's probably time we said this together to remind ourselves of who we are and what God's calling us to be. Read it with me. Bethel United Methodist Church is committed to exemplifying the living Spirit of God. As a beacon of light and love to our community and beyond, we strive to empower all people to become disciples of Jesus Christ. 37 words. I'll point out the importance of that in just a little bit. Today, I want to talk about mission statements in general and specifically about our mission statement for just a little bit. It's been a couple of years since this was developed and formulated by our vision team, and which makes me wonder if it's not time to revisit our vision, revisit our mission, who we are, and who God is calling us to be. Make no mistake about it, mission statements are very, very important. They help organizations, corporations, and yes, even churches identify who they are, what their core values are, what their goals are, and their purposes are. It helps an organization stay on track, to stay focused on what they're about and what they do best, and in the right direction, sharing a shared vision and agreed upon goals and purposes. The problem is, most mission statements are too long, too wordy, and too complex. Listen to this one. The company shall remain anonymous. Quote, "Our challenge is to assertively network economically sound methods of empowerment so that we may continually negotiate performance-based infrastructures." Blah, blah, blah. Now that is somebody's mission statement. Did you make any sense of that at all? I couldn't. Jesus had a mission. But did he have a mission statement? If he did, it would probably sound something like this. To inspire and nurture the human spirit. Wait a minute. That's Starbucks' mission statement. For real. It actually says to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, one neighborhood at a time. Could have very well been Jesus' mission statement, couldn't it? Now, if a coffee company can come up with something as clear and concise as that, can't we? You see, a mission, the mission of Jesus, and by extension, his church, shouldn't be complex, wordy, or boring. There are companies and organizations and firms out there that help companies formulate their mission statements. In fact, we had a guy that at the beginning of our process 2 years ago, I can't think of his last name. His name was Ed, and I can't think of his last name. He goes to Conley's Church. But anyway, he was a retired executive from Reynolds Aluminum, and he did this for a living, and he helped us free of charge to develop our mission statement. We spent a whole day and then some time afterwards formulating that. Some of you were on that vision team. Well, anyway, these companies come together and they help organizations formulate their mission statements to help them keep them short, clear, concise, and impactful, and something that people can remember. That's the most important thing, is helping people remember their mission statement. One company I read about even limits an organization's mission statement to, get this, 8 words. If you can't get it said in 8 words, they say, you don't have a good mission statement. In other words, it's got to include action words, a target as to what's to be done, and an anticipated outcome. Here's a couple of really good mission statements. Save endangered species from extinction. That says it all, doesn't it? Save, there's your action word. Endangered species, that's the object or the target. From what? Extinction. Says it all right there. Easy to remember. Another company's is to improve African children's health. Improve is your verb. African children is the target. Outcome is what? Healthier children. Health. You know what Walt Disney's mission statement is? It's really complicated. To make people happy. That's their mission statement. To make people happy. And I think they do a pretty good job of that. Last time I checked. 3M. You know the company 3M? Been around forever. Tape and stickers and all that. Their mission statement is to solve unsolved problems innovatively. Like Post-it notes. You know what Post-it notes are? Came out of 3M. Guy was sitting at his desk one day at 3M trying to figure out a way to make stuff stick without tearing the paper. Just a very, very, very innovative idea. Post-it notes. Clear, concise, simple, 8 words or less, and easy to remember. That's what makes a good mission statement. Actually, Jesus did have a mission statement. Luke records it at the beginning of his ministry. One day, Jesus is the assigned reader in the synagogue, which was his custom to attend synagogue. That day, he was given the scroll to read, and that scroll was open to the place where Jesus would read the following. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus folded up or rolled up the scrolls, sat down, and he said to everyone in the synagogue, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What a mission statement. To proclaim the good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. To proclaim the good news. To bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't that really what Jesus did in his ministry on earth for the 3 years that he was here? And isn't that our mission as the church, to continue the work of Jesus? I can't think of a better mission statement. Okay, yeah, it's more than 8 words, but you get my point. It's impactful, it's clear, it's concise, embodying everything that Jesus was about. And he did it. So I'm wondering, if Jesus had a mission statement, shouldn't each and every follower of Jesus have a personal mission statement? If so, I think the gospel lesson that I read for you today, that you read off the screen, might be able to help us formulate our own mission statements. This week, as I said, we're still in the Gospel of John, 14th chapter, with Jesus and his disciples in the farewell address that Jesus is giving them. And Jesus tells them, among other things, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, that's not a bad beginning for a good mission statement, is it? But it's already more than 8 words. But he continues, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Here, he is referring to the Spirit, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will be with them after he ascends and returns to the Father. The Father is sending another, the Holy Spirit, which will come upon them later, after the resurrection, not at Pentecost, oddly enough, in John's Gospel, but when Jesus breathes on them. Still the wind, not a mighty rushing wind, but it's still the breath of God through Jesus after his resurrection. So what do you think? You think this is a pretty good start to a Christian mission statement? Love Jesus, do what he says, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that really what this is all about? This church thing, this Christian thing? Loving Jesus, doing what he says, in the power of the Holy Spirit? Loving and living. Two sides of the same coin. We cannot live it out apart from loving Jesus. Living and loving go hand in hand. But we also have to remember that it is Jesus who loved us first. Jesus loved us first. And it is impossible to do anything for Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. So, how shall we fit all of this into a simple, clear, focused mission statement that we can live by as followers of Christ? Remember what I said about a good mission statement. It needs a verb or an action word. It needs a target or an object. And it needs a desired outcome. Here in this passage, Jesus gives us some strong action words, doesn't he? Looking back at these words, he uses words like love, keep the commandments, abide with me or live in me, with me, see and live, all verbs, action words. And then he directs these words at the clearly defined target. Who is that? His disciples. The target, the community of faith, the church.